Discovering sexuality and coming of age is never simple and tends always to be awkward. This awkwardness is intensified when your sexuality is not typical. Christians have a long way to go to help adolescents grapple with sexuality, especially when their sexuality differs from what the Bible says is good. How can we help same-sex attracted people be confident to live as God's children and share how they feel and experience the world with other Christians in gospel confidence? We're exploring this on the podcast today as we hear one man's story of coming to terms with his same-sex attraction. Hello and welcome to the Center for Christian Living podcast. My name is Chase Kuhn. I'm coming to you from Moore College in Sydney, Australia. Today on the podcast, I have a guest, Simon Swadling, who's a college student here entering into his final year, who also works at an Anglican church in the Inner West as a student minister. Simon, welcome.
Thanks. I'm glad to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. I've really enjoyed having you around college, lunch, class time, all kinds of things. I've learned a lot from you and been really grateful for the fellowship we've shared. Today, we have you on the program to share a bit about your life, and I've really enjoyed hearing some of your story, and I think many people will as well. Why don't we just begin by how you came to faith?
Yeah, I grew up in a Christian household, so my grandfather was a minister, and my parents are both believers, and I have two siblings who are also Christians, and so I feel like I never really had a day without knowing Jesus, and I really have vivid memories of when I was really young, having a really tangible sense of having a relationship with Jesus and, you know, being able to speak to him and him being my friend. And so that's kind of something that's been a part of my life right since the start. And I'm really thankful for that. It's such a blessing to have a Christian heritage and a ministry heritage too, thinking about going into ministry myself, having someone who was a real role model for me both growing up, but now looking back, thinking about what it looks like in ministry to be faithful to Jesus as well. That's a real great blessing.
That's lovely. When did you get serious about going into ministry, do you think?
Only quite recently. It was not something I had planned to be a part of my life. I'd not really thought about it. I'd planned to be something creative, a designer or something like that, and I'd really been keen to work in that space for quite a long time, and it kind of just gradually crept up on me, really, as I got more and more involved in church. It became more and more of a question mark of, oh, should I think about ministry more fully? And really pushed a pressure on my conscience to test it out, and here I am.
That's great. I'm glad you're here. I've been able to witness many of the gifts God's given to you, and I'm grateful for them. Part of your story has been discovering, as many of us do, our own sexuality.
Yeah.
Tell me about your journey in discovering your own sexuality.
Yeah. So I think it was kind of obvious for me from early teenage years, like 13, that I was not in the norm of this experience in thinking about sexuality and aware that there was something different about me from the people around me, and kind of became aware that I was not attracted to women like everyone else that I knew, all the guys in my year, but yeah, discovered that I was actually same-sex attracted in that. And that was a real period of figuring things out and thinking about what that was and what that meant and what that looked like. I think, you know, puberty is confusing for every person going through it. So, you know, went through that confusing phase and thinking, oh, what is this? How am I different? What does it look like? What does that mean for me? What does that mean for me as a Christian? A lot of questions. Yeah, it was a real journey, and I guess it still is in many ways. But yeah, that really started from my early teen years of realizing that I was a bit different and having to wrestle with that and figure out what that looked like.
I can imagine that would be a bit lonely. I mean, many people find, as you said, puberty confusing, and I think probably lonely because many of us are awkward about being awakened to our own sexuality, perhaps. Yeah, but how did you navigate that? Did you have people you were able to converse with? Was it a pretty internal process for you? How did you journey through that?
It was a very internal process. I think because I didn't really understand what was going on myself, it meant it was really hard for me to explain that to other people. And I think I had a vague awareness of the different thoughts that people had about these things. And I think growing up in a Christian context, I had question marks about what that meant for me as a Christian. And so there was definitely a lot of confusion in that space. And yeah, like you say, it was definitely a lonely space to try and figure out in. And I think for a long time, I thought it was just something that would be my own personal struggle that I wouldn't share with anyone, that would just be my own thing that I wouldn't share. And, you know, that was for various reasons, some good, some bad. And I've progressed from that space in thinking that it was something that is to be kept secret and within myself. Yeah, but it was a hard journey and a complicated journey. It took time even to admit those things to God in my faith. Like, that was a process within itself. Admitting it to God made it more real. Part of me could convince myself that maybe I was imagining things. It wasn't really real. But even the process of figuring out how to talk about these things with God in my prayer life was something that took time and was complex, let alone starting to think about sharing this with people. It's complicated.
Yeah. Again, I can imagine how difficult that would be. We're talking here about ethics on the Center for Christian Living podcast, and I imagine much of the struggle was around morality. Mm. Here is something that you're feeling that if you were to act on in biblical faith would be sinful. Mm. And how do you then navigate that expression of your sexuality in a way that honors God and yet is, I guess, genuine to your faith? I can imagine that would put real tension before you. As you thought about sharing, and maybe even, as you said, even sharing with God, tell me a little bit more about the emotions that were around that, especially with maybe morality in view. Was it shame? Was it guilt? Was it fear? What was it that you felt?
I think it was definitely all of those things. Admitting it made something more real that felt scary to make real. And so admitting that to God was scary in the first place, and then admitting it to others as well. I think when you have relational skin in the game with people, people that you're close to and have been close to for a long time, admitting something that feels significant about how you experience the world and something that you haven't shared with other people can be quite scary because you don't know how it's going to affect the relationship, and you fear that maybe they'll think that you're not the person that they thought you were, or all those kind of things can really go through your head and be hard to think about in sharing with others. And so it was something that really put me off sharing for a long time. And I think partially also because growing up in a Christian background and with Christian morals, it wasn't something I was planning on acting on. And so I felt like I didn't necessarily need to share those things. But I think in not sharing those things and just letting them sit inside, it did definitely build a sense of guilt and shame about not quite understanding what this means for me and how I sit before God, and whether it means that I'm inherently worse than people who are heterosexual, or like those moral questions were really complicated to think through, and was a real long journey of trying to figure out how to think about those things, and one that I'm still thinking about and processing. Yeah. How ethics and morality relates to this issue is really complicated. Mm. And one that I think I'll probably spend a lot of my life trying to figure out how, in the nuances of that, even if I've become more confident in the baseline confidence in the gospel and God's goodness and his ability to take any guilt and shame that we might have on Jesus. And so having that foundational confidence has definitely made a big difference in thinking about this space.
Mm. So how did you get over that hurdle of fear? You're talking about a gospel confidence.
Yeah.
What brought that confidence to you? And how did that then enable you to, or give you a desire to begin sharing about your life, which is fairly recent, if I'm understanding correctly.
Yeah.
How did you get confident, overcome your fear, and why did you begin to start sharing?
Yeah, I think I always had some sort of innate feeling that God loved me and that this didn't mean that God didn't love me. And I'm really thankful for that. That is not everyone's experience in this space. I'm really thankful for my family in the way that they brought me up to know God's love and taught me about the gospel, and my grandfather for those things. And so I think there was always a foundation there that meant I had a sense of some sort of grand level confidence in God's love. And I think just growing up in the faith, learning more about Jesus, learning more about the Bible, understanding his love for us has just been really important in that journey and really helpful. I think sometimes the idea of the love of God can be complicated and difficult for me. Like sometimes it can be quite overwhelming to think that he would love me. And sometimes I find hard to understand that God would love a sinner like me, and I can feel that really strongly. But I think that's been a beautiful space to try and push in and learn more about how God loves us, and that has really given me a sense of confidence in that, learning from God's word, or even having friends and family who love God and want to point you to the love of God is such an important part of that experience. And so I think those kind of things gave me a sense of confidence, of having people who I was confident loved me and cared about me, made it more safe to even open up about those things, even if that was scary. I think having a confidence in the love of God and the love of others and the love of God through others were all really important in being able to open up in that space.
Isn't that great? Isn't that what we want in Christian community, is a gospel foundation that constantly remembers, not just for people that might have a homosexual attraction, but for anybody that has any kind of propensity towards sin, which means everyone.
Yeah, every person.
All of us towards any kind of sin, that actually God loves us when we were still sinners. Christ died for us when we were still sinners. He loved us before the foundation of the world, before we could even think, before we could have a reason, before we ever were. So to remember that through and through is the foundation that actually all of us stand upon. And so the kind of overwhelming love that you've experienced should be the universal Christian experience, isn't it? That actually all of us stand amazed that God would give his son for us and love us so deeply and wonderfully and eternally.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. And I'm thankful that you've been able to share with us how that's reached you in particular in your life. Tell me about, as you began sharing, how long you've been sharing, and as you began sharing, how did you go about sharing that part of your life, and why did you feel it was important to begin letting people into that space?
Yeah, so it's not been a long time that I've been open about this, the last 6 or 7 years, something like that, with only a few close friends, like I could count it on one hand in the first little while, who I would talk about these things with. And I think part of the wanting to talk about these things is recognizing and realizing that the Christian journey is one that you don't do alone, and one that you need people to support you alongside that journey. And so the people that I shared with were people who were already supporting me and encouraging me on my journey and helping me. And I thought, these people want to support me as a Christian, then I should let them support me as a Christian. And that means being obvious about the things that I find hard about life. And thinking about sexuality is one of those top things I find really complicated and difficult, particularly as a Christian. And so trusting that people who are there to care for me and point me to Jesus would want to help me do that has been really important in that.
That's great. And the kinds of things that are hard, I'd love to know a little bit more about, if you're willing to share. Most people think that sexuality is just a struggle with lust or something like that, which undoubtedly every Christian person is going to struggle with lust in some capacity. But what other kinds of struggles come with the territory, if you will, that may be beyond just the obvious? So if we're thinking even about, say, accountability, it's not just accountability not to act out in certain ways sexually, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, but actually there's a much fuller picture that comes into view when we actually think about our sexuality as it plays out into our lives.
Yeah. And it is so much more complicated than just who you're attracted to. I think there's things about your experience in the world that can contribute to that. And I think we talked about the loneliness that that can be and the sense of isolation that can come with that. And, you know, sin loves you when you're isolated. That's when sin can really get a hold. And so having that isolation can be really unhelpful for any kind of sin really creeping into your life. And so having people who can speak into your life specifically and encourage you and be accountable, I think it also, not sharing about these things may be quite scared of vulnerability. And so when people are sharing really vulnerably, I could be quite scared about sharing as well and implying more than I wanted to, or implying things about my sexuality before I was prepared to. And so it did make those beautiful Christian spaces where people are vulnerable with each other spaces that were actually quite anxiety inducing for me, that I would give something away that I didn't want to give away. And that meant that it was actually quite hard to form those deep connections with other Christians in spaces that I felt I couldn't be honest about this or didn't want to. It's hard to walk the Christian life alone. And so that was part of what made me realize I wanted to be more open about this, is I wanted to be able to walk alongside people and to have people come alongside me and encourage me, and realizing how much we need fellow Christians to support us in that journey. And so I think thinking about those things has been really helpful, getting over those challenges of the vulnerability and the isolation that can really easily lead to any kinds of sins.
Yeah.
And have people who are open about their sins as well. It's just really helpful.
And what kinds of reception did you receive as you began to share with those close to you? And how do you feel you were met with support? What kinds of support was offered?
Yeah, I'm really blessed that I have had people who have been really positive when I've shared with them and have been keen to be helpful and supportive, which has been a real great blessing to have that, and not something I took for granted, and was part of why I was so nervous about sharing with people, is sometimes you never know how people respond. People have their own histories and backgrounds that impact the way they think. But I'm really thankful that people have been encouraging and supportive in that. And they've been keen to pray for me when I need prayer, or meet up with me to read the Bible, or even just people to talk through these issues with. Yeah, even just trying to explain my perspective and help people understand where I'm coming from. It was a really helpful space to just meet up and talk to people about what I'm finding hard and what I'm wrestling with and thinking about these things. It was really helpful. So people giving me time and space to be a bit of an angsty teenager, even not into my teenage years, as I figure out what this looks like for me. Yeah, people who are willing to listen and show that they're trustworthy in that has been really important. People who are willing to pray for you and willing to point you back to Jesus and make you not feel like a freak for it being hard to follow Jesus and realize, oh, actually it's hard for everyone in their own unique ways. And so that mutual sharing that people have. And I think sharing this has invited that in those relationships as well, like a greater depth of vulnerability, not only from my part, but from others as well, as sharing with that level of honesty just inspires trust. And that's been a real blessing of sharing these things and being intentional in who I shared with was a great space to build those deeper friendships and relationships that are hopefully mutually beneficial rather than just me looking for help, but actually we can help each other in those friendships in the differences that we find that are hard about the Christian life.
Yeah, that's lovely to hear. It's lovely to hear the way that people have met you where you are, and even then in return felt more free to be vulnerable with you as well. And we've talked about this in the Center for Christian Living a number of times, and we've talked about it in class as well, but intimacy equals vulnerability. Mm. And so if you want to be intimate with people, in one sense, the more intimate you become, the more vulnerable you become. And you could think about that negatively. There's more room to be hurt. Mm. The more that you expose yourself, people now have, in one sense, ammunition to hurt you. They know your pressure points. They know where you're weak and everything else. But the gospel enables a very unique kind of intimacy, I think, in the world, because the threats that can be put against us have been neutralized. That is, that the worst somebody can do to us is never really the worst, because the worst has been overcome. So when we think about Jesus overcoming the world, when Jesus overcomes death and disarms the devil and all these things, that comes as he conquers our sin. And I think that enables the most beautiful opportunity for community when we stand on the gospel. And it sounds to me like you've been tasting and seeing that that is actually really good, and we can share that in Jesus. That's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. It's so beautiful.
Take a break from our program. I want to invite you to our first live event for 2023. This year, we're considering the virtuous life. And at our first event on March 15th, I'll be presenting on the topic, Is Love Really All You Need? In a world where we're told that love is love, I'm going to be exploring love amongst other virtues and see why it holds a central place in our thinking. And you can find out more information and register yourself, your small group, or your church at ccl.more.edu.au. I'd also like to remind you that all of our events are now by donation only. The entire Center for Christian Living runs exclusively on donations, which pay not for my salary, but for the production and promotion of our materials. So please register for the event and donate what you're able. And if you can't afford any donation, we'd love to have you anyways. Finally, we're hoping to begin a new initiative in our podcast where we hear from and interact with listeners just like you. Many of you have burning ethical questions or scenarios that you'd like advice about, and we'd love to hear from you. Please send us your issues and listen out for an answer in our upcoming episodes, where we'll feature a short segment on your ethical challenges. You can send them to us through our contact page on our website. Now let's get back to our program. What would you say to people that are thinking about this, maybe when they're struggling themselves with same-sex attraction? They realize that they're same-sex attracted. they've maybe been hesitant to open up to people. How would you encourage them where they are as they process this and consider what it would be like to begin speaking to people, sharing life a little bit more openly and honestly? How would you encourage them from your own experience?
Yeah, I think there's a lot in that and a lot to think about. And I think there's a real pressure in society to name and claim exactly who you are and what is this part of you and make it a part of your identity. And I think that can make it hard to want to share initially if you're not sure where this fits within who you are. You were saying about the beauty of the Christian space, and it is a beautiful space where you don't have to be confident about where these things fit in into who you are, because we all in Christian community have a base level understanding of who we are together in Christ. And so that makes a beautiful space for you to be able to be honest and vulnerable and unsure about these things. And so finding people who can help you in that space and help you listen and help encourage, like I was talking about earlier, is just so helpful. And I think you shouldn't feel the pressure to just be open about these things to everyone all of the time. And I think sometimes I felt that pressure that somehow it's wrong for me not to talk about this with everyone and just be open about this from the start. And that pressure has been really unhelpful, I think. But actually finding people who you can trust and being prayerful about that and being thoughtful about how you share with them. And, you know, maybe it's someone who hasn't had that much experience encouraging other Christians in that space, or being thoughtful about what would be helpful for you. And so helping people along that journey as you share, going, this will be really helpful for me. I'd really love space to talk about these things, or I'm not expecting you to have the answers when we talk about those things. So, you know, being thoughtful about how you share and who you share with is helpful, but there's also not the pressure to have everything all together. Mm. Not in a Christian community where we should know that we don't have everything all together, and that's why we trust in Jesus. And so be prayerful and thoughtful. It is risky being vulnerable, but there is also great gain in that.
That's great. And you raised something really important there about identity and the world saying that this is your identity. You ought to live it out as loud and proud as you can. How have you been able to situate your own sexuality within the broader idea of your identity? And how has thinking about that maybe enabled that kind of freedom as people are listening that may be feeling the same?
Yeah. I think that's a really complicated thing and still a live issue for me to process and think about. I mean, identity is such a hot topic now, and there's books all over the place and everyone has opinions about how this should look. And so thinking about how this fits into my identity is complicated. It has been, and I think it will continue to be, to think about and process these things and to figure out what a godly conception of these things looks like. And so I think having confidence in who I am in Christ as a base level thing, knowing that I'm a child of God and loved in Christ, has always been really important and is important for everyone. But I think particularly important when you can feel a pressure to build your identity around something else. And so having that confidence in who you are in Christ and who God has called you, like his beloved child, is just really important and important to foster and be encouraged in as a base level thing. But I think there is also a really important space to recognize the complexity of just your experience and how that shapes you, and how being different and sitting outside the norm actually can be a really significant factor in shaping who you are and how you act and how you respond to things. And so I think I've been thinking through what is that space to recognize that this is a significant part of my journey, not just because of my own internal feelings to work through, but actually because it affects how I exist in the world. And that can be really complicated to work out. What amount do you let this become a part of who you are? How much do you see it as being significant? And like, I could look at myself and reflect on who I am as a person and find ways that this connects to my experience of sexuality internally and living with that in the world. Like, I can see it everywhere in who I am. And so thinking about how to recognize the complexity of that and the complexity of the experience of that in the world, but also recognizing that I know fundamentally who I am in Christ. And so letting that sit under that and sit comfortably under that, rather than making it something that clashes those two concepts. Yeah. So that is complicated, and I'm still thinking about that and hoping to spend a bit of this year thinking about this actually, and thinking about this identity space, because it's really quite new as a thing. And so how to think about that as a Christian is a space that's really important, not only for people who struggle with same-sex attraction, but just for everyone as we think about who we are as people, who we are as physical beings living in the world, but also who we are in Christ.
That's great. And that's something we have to keep taking in faith too, I guess. Mm. I mean, remembering you're a child of God is easy to say,
yeah,
but then to actually really believe it,
yeah,
to believe that God has actually welcomed me, that God has actually called me to himself, that God has actually provided everything that I need for life. It's something we have to keep claiming in faith,
yeah,
and keep walking by in faith, even as we face all kinds of,
yeah,
challenges and struggles and the like throughout life. Just as we conclude, and we're going to have another episode where you and I are going to talk about a little bit more of that lived experience in the face of some of the cultural pressures that we face around pride events and other things. But before we sign off on this episode, I'd just love to ask you, what's the most helpful way that somebody can receive someone that's beginning to share about this? And maybe unhelpful ways too. So
yeah.
You mentioned listening carefully.
Yeah.
What kind of positive listening have you experienced? And what does that look like? And you don't need to name or shame anybody that's done something poorly, but we all make blunders, don't we? And I guess that's a fear that everybody has when they have somebody begin sharing with them. But what would you encourage people not to do, maybe, as well?
Yeah. It is complicated to think about how to do this well. And I am, again, as I said earlier, really thankful that I have been really blessed with people who have done it really well and people who have been free to admit that they don't have all the answers, but express that they're willing to be there for me and encourage me and to listen. So I think if someone is sharing these things to you, particularly in their early days of figuring out what that looks like, then that's a real blessing and you should be really grateful that they express that trust in you, because it's not an easy thing to do and that really says something about how they see you. And so you should take it as a real compliment that someone would trust you with this complicated part of who they are. And so I think being curious and asking them questions and giving them space to think about those things is just really helpful. Being willing to just listen, as I said, I think that's the most helpful thing that people do, other than being willing to pray for you and that sort of thing. And so I think making sure that you express that you are happy to listen to them talk and happy to hear their thoughts and happy to work through things with them is really helpful. I think expressing that you don't have all the answers is a good thing too. And it's probably likely that they're not coming to you because they expect you have all the answers, but because they want to do life alongside you and to be encouraged and to encourage you. And so I think that is really helpful. Being willing to be vulnerable too about your own struggles and what it looks like for you to be a Christian and what is complex about you in following Jesus faithfully, that's always really helpful and encouraging. Like, it does not have to be in the exact same issue that you do for it to be encouraging to them. It is encouraging to hear about the ways in which it's difficult for you to follow Jesus faithfully, because that really reminds me when people share this, but it reminds them that it's not only hard for me to be a Christian, which sometimes it can feel that way if people are not open about what they find hard and what is challenging about walking faithfully. I can really make you feel like you're the only one who finds this hard. And so I think providing space to listen, but also being able to be vulnerable in return and share is really helpful.
That's great. Simon, I can't thank you enough for coming on today and sharing with us. I realize there are risks involved about even sharing in this format to a bunch of listeners you don't know. But I can't thank you enough for being willing to stand in the confidence of Christ, to be able to tell about life and the many twists and turns that people face and the particular challenges that you faced and the ways that you're seeking to follow after Jesus faithfully. I'm grateful for you, brother. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'm glad to share about it.
To benefit from more resources from the Center for Christian Living, please visit ccl.more.edu.au, where you'll find a host of resources, including past podcast episodes, videos from our live events, and articles published through the center. We'd love for you to subscribe to our podcast and for you to leave us a review so more people can discover our resources. On our website, we also have an opportunity for you to make a tax-deductible donation to support the ongoing work of the center. We always benefit from receiving questions and feedback from our listeners, so if you'd like to get in touch, you can email us at ccl@more.edu.au. As always, I would like to thank More College for its support of the Center for Christian Living. and to thank my assistant Karen Bielhartz for her work in editing and transcribing the episodes. The music for our podcast was generously provided by James West.